Here's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. House flipping is just as strong as it was back during the housing bubble in 2016. We'll tell you in a moment why there's less reason to worry this time. First, these money and market stories you should know. You might recall the number of jobs created in February dropped substantially, and in lockstep, the number of job openings fell in February to the lowest level in nearly a year. There were a little over 7 million unfilled jobs on the last business day of February. That's according to the Labor Department. And that was down by more than 500,000 from January's near record. And despite February's decline, jobs remained plentiful compared with the number of Americans who are unemployed but actively seeking work. There were 876,000 more available jobs than unemployed people. And such a gap has occurred for 12 straight months, but never previously in the nearly two decades of monthly records. A report from the State Higher Education Executive Officers Association indicates that states cut funding to their public colleges by $2,000 per full-time student on average in the 10 years since the Great Recession. In 2018, the report says the amount of money states sent to public colleges per full-time student was about $1,000 below pre-recession levels. After 5 years of state funding increases to public colleges, funding was essentially flat. In response, some schools increasingly turned to out-of-state students and international students to help make up for lost funding. Those are two groups that often pay more to attend public colleges. And as they say, when you gotta go, you gotta go. And in the case of pet dogs, that often means use of a wee-wee pet. Where are we going with this? Well, the Wall Street Journal Real Estate Bureau says that the inventor of the wee-wee pad is selling his Fifth Avenue apartment in New York for nearly $40 million. The 5,400-square-foot apartment takes up a full floor, has 10 rooms, an elevator leading to a grand reception area, and overlooks New York Central Park. The owner bought the apartment in 2000 for about $11 million. And by the way, he developed a cologne for dogs in the early 1970s before hitting it big with wee-wee pads. When you hear housing bust, you might feel a pit in your stomach. And when we tell you house flipping is on the rise and back at about the level it was during the 2006 housing boom, you might get the same feeling. But things are different this time. And Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cosisto is here to explain why. So Laura, house flipping or buying a house with the intent to turn around and sell it is at levels seen about 12 years ago, but the flipping is actually less risky this time around?
Yeah, that's the idea. So this new analysis took a close look at profits and what profits flippers are getting and where they're getting those profits from. And what it basically found is that what's really driving profits this time around is more kind of professional flippers buying older homes, putting money into it, taking that dilapidated mansion, making it into a gem. And that's a really different thing than what we were seeing last time, when we were seeing, you know, just real amateurs buying homes in the suburbs, letting them sit for a couple of years and then trying to turn a profit.
So more institutional flippers at work here.
More institutional flippers and people more putting work into homes, buying those homes that your average home buyer just really doesn't want to take on.
So back in 2006, the homes were really not that old, but the homes today are about a decade older than they were back in 06?
Yeah, that's right. The homes today on average are about 39 years old, and you have markets like Philadelphia on the extreme where the homes are nearly a century old. And so you can understand why just your average 27-year-old first-time buyer doesn't want to take on that 90-year-old Philadelphia mansion.
Right. A little bit of work that needs to be done.
Exactly.
But also the housing inventory issue seems like it has caught up to the flipping market as well.
Yeah, definitely anecdotally, something I heard from a lot of flippers is that it's getting very competitive out there. There's a lot more people who are interested in these homes. There are sort of suddenly you go to see one of them and there's six people lining up down the block. And they're competing with a lot of sort of that same space as your average first-time buyer. And that's really, even though we have overall seen inventory start to grow, that's a segment of the market where we're still really seeing a shortage.
So even though you said that it's more institutional flippers at work here and it's a bit more controlled, if you will, there's still some risk associated with this.
Yeah, I don't think we want to get too sort of ebullient about this. Yeah, you still are talking about, you know, we had talked to this one flipper in Philadelphia, and she says you kind of open up the floors and every joist is rotted. It's still kind of a pretty risky business. And especially, it's also just a risky business. We're getting late in the housing cycle, and you're still going to be in trouble if you buy something now and home prices start to decline in the next couple of years.
The flipping reality shows on TV make it sound so simple. Make it sound so walk in and the house is going to be perfect, but in a lot of cases, it could be a lot of work to be done.
I just bought a home that I'm renovating, so it's all too true.
All right. You heard it here first. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cosisto here in our studio. Laura, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.